So I took a survey and I asked the following question. I said, here's how we understand God. We understand and view God in two kind of fundamental ways. Number one, we understand that God is love, that he's grace, that he's beauty, he's full of forgiveness. In Christ, he loves us as his kids. He's our dad. We have intimacy with him, and we understand God as a God of love. On the other hand, we also understand who God is, that God is not just a God of love, but God's a God of holiness, which means he's pure. He's different than anything else in creation. That when we approach him with reverence and awe. He's the creator of all things. And so as we understand God, both his love, that we're accepted by him, and his holiness, that he's above us and perfect in every way, what we said is that typically most people have a tendency and a leaning to understand God on one of the two ways. So maybe predominantly viewing God as a God of love, or predominantly viewing God as a holy God. And so I took a little survey, and I said in the survey, raise your hand if the way you view God has a greater leaning toward his love or a greater leaning toward his holiness. And we did this across both our sites, and it was about two-thirds of us said that we view God predominantly based on him being a God of love, which is understandable. And we asked the question back then as well, is if we went out in our society and asked the same question, you know, how do people generally view God? We would see it would probably be more than two-thirds of the people, but most people believe there's a God, and most people believe that God is a God of love. And so the predominant way people in our culture view God is that he is a God of love primarily. And what ends up needing to happen is that as we grow in our relationship with God and as we understand the Bible, we understand that actually God is both love and holiness, that he's the perfect representation of both. And we have to go on a journey of understanding God's holiness and how much he loves us and his love is unconditional and that we're actually his cherished sons and daughters. We have to go on a journey to understand that, but we also have to go on a journey of understanding that God's holy and pure and different than anything else in all creation, and that we must approach him with this understanding of his holiness. And perhaps you've gone on a journey. I know for me, when I first became a Christian, my journey was understanding God's holiness. And about the first 15 years of my journey with God was understanding his holiness and understanding how sinful I am. About 10 years ago, I went on a three-year journey of understanding God's unconditional love, that he's my dad and that he's proud of me. When I do wrong things and when I do right things, his love is unconditional. And so perhaps you've been on one of those journeys, maybe you've been on both of those journeys, or maybe you haven't been on either of those journeys. Well, over the next 3 weeks, we're gonna go on a journey together, and the journey that we're gonna go on is gonna on this understanding of God's holiness. Because here's what happens, and this is really important. If we understand God as primarily a loving God, then we don't really understand our need for Christ and our need for forgiveness, because after all, in the end, everything will be okay since he's loving. And we're a lot more permissive of the way other people live, because after all, everything will be okay. He's loving. If we predominantly understand as God as a holy God and not as a God of love, then we're constantly feeling like he's disappointed in us, and we feel guilt all the time, and we never feel like we measure up. It's really important that we understand who God is based on how he reveals himself in Scripture. One of the most memorable passages in Scripture is found in Exodus chapter 3. And I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, to turn to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to look at this first beginning passage as we begin thinking about going on this journey of understanding God's holiness. So Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and it says the following. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. You see, when we understand who God is and when we approach him, we have to approach him with reverence and awe. One of the prophets of the Old Testament had a vision of being in God's presence. And that vision that he had, it was actually recorded in the Bible. We just heard about it on this video. It's Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, which says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It was this amazing vision. I saw the Lord high and exalted. And he was like seated on this throne. And he had this robe on, and the train of his robe actually filled the temple. And above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, whenever they would say this, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. You see, we need to understand that God is holy. He's the creator of all things. He's not just a grandfather in the sky who's kind of distant. He's a holy, perfect, pure God. He's not just our pal. He's the creator of everything in the universe. He deserves our absolute respect and reverence. We can't approach him in any other way than to understand that he is indeed holy and perfect. And he's here today. I mean, this is the amazing thing. He's here today. He's here among us. When we come together, I mean, he's with us wherever we go. There's something special about when the people of God come together and his presence is here among us. And the holy God who created all things in the universe is here among us. And we have the opportunity, and we dare not take it for granted. We have the opportunity to come before his presence, to worship him, to pray to him, and to draw close to him. And the challenge that we have is that we often approach him in a cavalier way. As if like, well, he's always around. We must worship him for who he is and not simply what we've imagined him to be in our minds. In fact, we're gonna sing a song. I want to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a song. And we're not just singing because, oh, well, this is, you know, what you do in church is you sing songs. We're not singing songs. We're actually worshiping the living God. I just want to make it really clear that what we're doing is not just kind of haphazard or just singing some lyrics. What we're trying to do is take music and lyrics and use the music and lyrics as a medium, as a means. And the end is that we're actually engaged with our minds and our hearts with the living, holy God. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to repeat this phrase that we just read in Scripture, this phrase, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory, because it's true. The whole earth is full of his glory. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask us all to say this out loud three times. And here's how I'd like us to do it, because he deserves our reverence and respect. What I'd like us to do is say this three times with our hands lifted. We see all throughout Scripture that part of the way that we approach God is the posture of our hearts and the posture of our bodies. And so when we say these three things, I'd just like us maybe even to look up. We'll have the words on the screen. Maybe you want to close your eyes. Maybe you want to look up. Maybe you just want to read the phrase on the screen. But let's approach him with reverence and awe. And let's say this phrase together three times. Are we ready? I'll lead us. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let's say it a second time, even louder. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And one final time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so God comes in contact with Moses, and God tells Moses that he wants him to be the go-between between him and the people. He will be the mediator. The people could not just approach God directly. They needed someone who would represent God and someone who would represent them to God. If they approached God on their own, the result would be that they would die. And they wouldn't die because of God's love. They would die because of God's holiness. God desired relationship with his people, the people of Israel. But that relationship meant that the people would need to understand who in fact God was, and they would have to understand who they are. The people couldn't just approach him in any way. And that meant understanding that God's holy and perfect, and that meant understanding that we aren't holy and perfect. And so God says to Moses, I want to meet with my people, and I want to meet with them at the bottom of a mountain called Mount Sinai. And so God asked Moses to come up to this mountain called Sinai, and that Moses would go up on the top of the mountain, and God would communicate with Moses at the top of the mountain, and then Moses would go down from the mountain, and he would communicate to the people. And this is how they were to approach God. We find this in Exodus 19, and it says this beginning at verse 26 of Exodus 19. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. This was their day. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. And the whole mountain trembled violently, if you can imagine the scene. The mountain itself trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, "Go down and warn the people so that they don't force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them die." Because that's what happens. "Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us. Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy." The Lord replied, "Go down and bring Aaron up with you, but the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he'll break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. See, what God was communicating is that, look, I want to have a relationship with you, but you can't just approach me in any cavalier way. It doesn't work that way. If you approach me in a cavalier way, you will die. In fact, the same is true today. Because God is the same holy God he's always been. And one of the ways that God helped the people to understand that they couldn't just approach him in a cavalier way was to help them understand how different they were from him and how imperfect they were from him. And the way he did that was he communicated what's commonly called the Ten Commandments. And when they received the Ten Commandments, then they said, "Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Now I understand how holy God is and how unholy I am." Let's continue reading in Exodus 20. Verse 1, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord, to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we'll listen. But do not have God speak to us or we'll die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. And so God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, and Moses gives the people the Ten Commandments. Here are the Ten Commandments. Have no other gods before you. Do not make an idol. Do not misuse God's name. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. There they all are. And let me just ask you this morning, how many of the Ten Commandments have you kept? Just do a little quick spiritual inventory and ask yourself, how many of the Ten Commandments listed up there have you kept? And I'm going to be vulnerable with all of you this morning and tell you that I haven't kept one of them. And I'm going to take a few moments and I'm going to go through each one of them and tell you how I've broken that one. My guess is there aren't many in the room, if any, who've kept even one of these Ten Commandments. First one, I've made many things in my life more important than God and worshiped many things. Things like sports, things like being accepted by others, something I've worshiped in the past. Reputation, food, comfort. I've worshiped family as more important than God at times. There's many things that I've worshiped have become my God other than the true and living God. Number two, God is spirit, and I have imagined him in my mind on many occasions as a human, thinking the way a human would think. I've taken what I think is fair and what I think is reasonable and accused God of being unfair and unreasonable. Like, I wouldn't do it that way. I don't understand what he means by that. I've fashioned him into more of a human. I've misused his name, particularly when I was younger. In fact, in the Old Testament, you weren't even allowed to use God's name even in a right context. It was so holy. I've misused it in the past. When I was a teenager, used his name in vain. I've used his name in jokes. I mean, I've taken God's name so lightly at times. Number four, I've had seasons in my life where I've been a workaholic. Instead of resting 1 and 7, working 7. Number five, I've dishonored, I've lied to my mom, to my dad. Been rude to them many times. Number six, I've never outwardly murdered someone, but Jesus says that if you have intense anger for someone, you've murdered them in your heart and you violated this commandment. I've had that before. I've had intense anger against someone. Curse them in my heart. Number seven, I've never outwardly committed adultery, but Jesus says that if you look at a woman lustfully in your heart, you've broken that commandment. I've looked at women lustfully, both before I was a Christian and before I was married and after I've been married. I've broken that commandment. Number eight, I've stolen many times. When I was a teenager, I'd steal some things from the store. I've stolen time from a company. I've stolen a girl's innocence when I was a teenager. I've stolen God's glory when he deserves the glory and I took it for myself. I've stolen many times. Number nine, lied many times in my life. Once lied on a job application to get a job and got the job. Lied on my tax return when I first started to work. Look at many occasions where I've lied. And number 10, when I see people who have more things than me, more money than me, more convenience than me, more comfort than me, I've desired what they have. Broken that commandment many times over. There's not one commandment that I have ever kept. And I wonder if there's anyone in the room who's kept even one of these. It's hard for us to understand God's holiness if we don't understand his law, because his law and his character, when you understand it, and then you begin looking at your own life, you see the distance is so much greater than you ever thought it was. It's a part of understanding who he is and who we are. Without grace, we couldn't even approach God. We couldn't come close to him, because if we try to come close to him apart from grace, we would die. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to spend some time in confession. One of the things that we do as we approach a holy God is we have to confess our sins. What are the things, as you look at the Ten Commandments, what are the things that come to mind where you've broken those Ten Commandments? Maybe you broke one earlier this morning. Maybe you broke one yesterday or last week. Let's just allow the Spirit to convict us of ways in which we've sinned in our mind, ways that we've sinned with our eyes, ways that we've sinned with our mouth, ways that we've sinned with our actions, things that we should have done and know God called us to do when we chose not to do them. Let's just allow God to bring these things to mind, and let's spend a few moments in confession. So let's just go ahead and bow. And I want you to just give you an opportunity as you consider the holiness of God and your unholiness, allow some things to be brought to your mind and your heart, and just spend a few moments confessing. And so, Lord, we just want to say we're sorry. We're sorry. We acknowledge your greatness and your holiness, and we acknowledge our unholiness in our minds, in our hearts, in our words, in our actions. We want to come before you the right way. And we thank you that you do forgive us in Christ by your grace, and that's the only way. But Lord, we thank you for your law and your word that reveals who you are and reveals who we are outside of your grace. Revelation 5, 11 through 14 says this: Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying over and over again, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and on all that's in them saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Lord, we acknowledge that you are holy. Please forgive us the ways in which we've been unholy. Thank you that we can come before you by your grace. In Jesus' name, Amen. And so there are two predominant fundamental ways to understand and approach God. One is that God is a God of love. He forgives us. He's compassionate. He's like a dad in Christ. We're forgiven of all things. The other is that God is holy. He's above us. He's perfect in every way. He's different. And when we come in contact with him, we understand our own unholiness. And our goal as followers of Jesus is to understand and bring these two things together, to see where we have weaknesses and where we don't completely understand God. And the cross of Jesus is the perfect intersection of God's love and of his holiness. The cross is where we understand it all. Because it was at the cross that Jesus loved us so much that he would die in our place. And it was at the cross that God said, it requires death for forgiveness because of my holiness. The cross is the greatest intersection. Either we die for our sin or someone else dies in our place, and Jesus is the one. This is why we at Grace Gathering believe and welcome people wherever they're at in life. We're a place that welcomes young and old, rich or poor, believer or skeptic, those feeling happy or sad, those facing addictions or experiencing freedom, a place that welcomes those who are married, single, divorced, living together, gay or straight. A place that welcomes people of all races, of all religions, and even those who are not religious. And the reason why we welcome people wherever they're at in life is because of the reality that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need to be forgiven and changed. There is not a soul out there who has got it all together and doesn't need God's grace. So how could we not welcome everyone, no matter what their lifestyle or their difficulty or their hardship? Yes, because of God's love, Jesus died in our place. He was the lamb that was slain on our behalf. And we're going to sing one more song before Brian comes up and just leads us in our time of response. But I want to read, as we do, sing this last song as we bring this message to a close and move to a time of response and communion. Revelation 4, 8 through 11 says this: each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings, day and night. They never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You're worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and you will be, and in your will they were created and have their being." So I'd like to ask us to stand at this time and just say this phrase that's being said right now over and over again. I'd like to say it three times together. And here's the phrase: "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." The angels right now are saying this over and over again. And we have an opportunity to join the angels as they're saying it, and here down here on the earth as the congregation to say it with them. And so we're gonna say it three times. I just wanna encourage you just to open up your hands or lift your hands, just to posture your bodies in a way of responding and respect. And let's say these three, let's say this three times together out loud, and I'll lead us. Here we go. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Let's say it again louder. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." One final. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come."